Today we're going to be in the book of Malachi again in chapter 4. We've been looking at this series called Malachi, His Final Messenger. And obviously this is the final message in that series. And as I've been reading through this book and sharing with you, it really is kind of a good stepping stone as we kind of head into our season of Easter. Because as we've talked, you know, Malachi is that final messenger before that period of divine silence, before the birth of Christ. Today, as we look at chapter 4 and as we conclude the book, we're really going to focus in on the great day of the Lord. And I shared with you when we started this series of messages that my focus was turned to Malachi as we looked at it one night in deacon's meeting. And Brother Curtis had devotions that night, and we looked specifically at chapter 4. And chapter 4 raised a lot of questions for us as we talked about it, as we looked at it, and it probably will raise and leave some questions even today, because I have to admit that I don't have all the answers about what chapter 4 means. But Malachi is writing to the people here, and he's trying to encourage them to return to God, return to His ordinances, return to His ways. And I think if we just kind of look at it from that standpoint this morning, that, you know, Malachi's message was return to God or stay faithful to Him, that's really where we need to be here as we look at chapter 4. As we've looked through this series of messages, we know that the name Malachi means my messenger. And as we looked at chapter 1, verse 1, Malachi knew he had a very difficult task in front of him. He said he called this a burden of the word of the Lord. And so the themes that we've looked at here as we've gone through this, we've looked at God's love, but we've seen an awful lot of rebuke. And that's why Malachi referred to this as a burden, because he knew that he was going to be rebuking the priest and the people and calling them back to God, and that's never easy, and it certainly wasn't for him. He also focused a little bit, although not so much as we've looked at the book, on the whole idea and the subject of hope. We saw hope for the first time last week, just a little bit, as Malachi talked about a faithful remnant. And we'll see hope today as we think about and as we hear about this day of the Lord that will come. It will be a day of judgment, but it'll also be a day of joy and victory for those who remain faithful to Him. As we've looked through the series, just to kind of review it real quick, Malachi began with the idea of remembering God's love. And the thing we took away from that was that the people of God, they had forgot just how much He loved them. Then Malachi turned his attention to honoring God's name, and there he specifically spoke to the priest. And remember what the priests were doing. They were allowing the people to come and offering up these unholy sacrifices that were unclean, that were impure. And Malachi said to the priest, you need to honor God's name for all that He's done. Then Malachi began to rebuke the people, and he spoke to them about keeping God's covenants, about keeping God's laws and His ordinances that He had laid out for them. And in the midst of all this, the people looked at Malachi and they said, "Where is the God of justice?" It was almost as though that they felt like God had somehow moved, that somehow God had gone away, when really it was them that had done that. And Malachi pointed out to them that the God of justice hasn't changed, His promises remain the same, and the people just needed to remain faithful to Him. Last week, the rebuke continued. We looked at robbers, people who robbed God of their tithes, of their gifts, of their offerings. We looked at complainers, people who were complaining against God and His Word and everything that God was doing. It was somehow not enough and not good enough for the people. And then we saw that hope. Because that hope, it really was raised up. It was raised up with a faithful remnant. In all the book of Malachi up to that point, we were almost led to believe that there was nobody left that was following God. But Malachi spoke about a hopeful remnant of the faithful who really were serving God and following His Word and following His truth. Today we wrap all this up with the great day of the Lord. And I really believe that as Malachi writes here, he's writing about a prophecy of a day that is yet to come. Some people might disagree with that, and we'll talk a little bit about it here this morning because there are interpretive challenges. Some people believe that this is referring to Jesus' first coming. I don't see it that way, and I could be wrong, and I'll admit that right up front. But I think there's things here that point to this great day of judgment being Jesus' second coming. Some people get wrapped up in who Malachi's talking about here. But we know this, in chapter 3, Malachi, he had talked about, he had pointed toward John the Baptist and the coming of Jesus. And in chapter 4, he talks about seeing Isaiah again. And some people think that maybe that was John the Baptist that he was referring to. But I think it's pointing to a day that's yet to come. Because the Nelson Study Bible tells us that Malachi ends with a promise and then also with a warning. And I think the warning is of that day to come. Let's look at the warnings that begins here. In chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave neither root nor branch. If you remember, one of the things that the people had raised before God on a couple of different times, what was they had questions about the proud and the wicked. Go back to chapter 2, verse 17, and we've looked at this verse a couple of times. We're going to look at it again here today. But in chapter 2, verse 17, the people had said, it's the second half of the verse, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or where is the God of justice? So the people, they were confused about the proud and the wicked because to the people, it seemed like they were prospering, like they were profiting. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. And there's another example of how the people felt like the proud, the wicked, they were having success. They were able to do the things that they wanted to do, and somehow God was smiling upon them. But chapter 4 points out very clearly to me what will happen to the proud, what will happen to the wicked. We live in a world today where we can see, I think it's honest if we say it this way, we can see the proud and the wicked sometimes prospering. And we wonder where God is in all of that. But God is still on His throne. He's still in the same place He's always been. And throughout His Word, He tells us what will ultimately happen to those who are proud, those who are wicked. In the days to come, in chapter 4, verse 1, in the days to come, look at what will happen to the proud, what will happen to the wicked. God says through the prophet Malachi, they will be stubble. Now think about that for a minute. We live in a farming community, and some of us are active on farms, and we go out and we harvest our grain, and what's left behind? It's the straw, and we gather that up and we use it for bedding or whatever else. But left behind on the field is the stubble. Of what value is that? Well, we can plow it under, we can put it in the soil, but that stubble isn't going to add a lot of nutrients to the soil. And God talks about here that the people, the proud, the day is coming when they will be cut down as stubble. And we look at stubble and we say, well, that's just pretty much worthless. And that's what God's saying about those proud and those wicked. God also says in that day that they will be burned up. See, here's one of those indications where I think we're not talking about the first coming of Christ. Because in the first coming of Christ, Christ offered hope. He offered hope and salvation. And here, in this day that is yet to come, we see that the proud and the wicked, they're going to be like stubble in the grass. They're going to be burned up, a picture of destruction. And the other thing that God says about them through the prophet Malachi is He says that they will be left neither root nor branch. You know, sometimes we can cut down a tree, and the roots are still in the ground, and from those roots we can see regeneration. We can see, you know, saplings start to come up from the roots of those trees. Some people have a lot of skills and a lot of talents, and they can cut a branch off of one tree and they can graft it into another so that that branch can continue to grow. But that's not the picture that God leaves here for the wicked and the proud. He says they're going to be like stubble in the field. They're going to be burned up, and He will leave neither root nor branch from which they can regenerate or which they can have life again. To me, this is a picture of a day that's yet to come, a day of judgment. It kind of makes chapter 2, verse 17 look a little different because the people are asking, where is the God of judgment? And God is speaking through Malachi and He's saying to them, I'm still here. And I have a plan for the proud and the wicked. The proud and the wicked who refuse my name, who want nothing to do with me, look at the outcome. Look at what's going to happen to them. It's a warning. It's a warning for the proud, but it's also a warning to those, the people of God who have stepped away from Him, that they need to return. And the next thing that Malachi does here is he gives promises to those that will remain faithful to him. Look at chapter 2. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be under ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Malachi follows up a warning about what will happen to those who have left God with promises to the faithful people. And church, I just want to say that yes, I realize that Malachi was written years and years and years ago, but I think these promises are for the faithful remnant in his day, present in Malachi's day, but I think these promises are for the present church today, the people that follow God today, and I think these promises are also for believers in the future. That if you remain true to Him, these are the things that you will see. These are the things that you will experience. So let's talk a little bit about that, because Malachi identifies the Son of Righteousness is going to appear. And you'll notice there that it's not S-O-N, it's S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. But the reference is to Jesus. And we know this about Jesus. We know that Jesus has appeared once. He came as a baby, born to the virgin, born in Bethlehem. And we know that He's coming again. And so this Son of Righteousness really will appear twice. Let's look at a couple of prophecies here. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, we read the prophecy of Zechariah. Now remember, Zechariah was John the Baptist's father. And remember that when Zechariah heard that he was going to be the father of a child, he was old and his wife was barren, and he didn't believe the angel that came to him. But yet when the child was born, he was able to speak. Remember, his voice was taken from him while the child was yet to be born. And as Zechariah began to prophesy, he talked about what his son, John the Baptist, would do. But then he also talked about the one that John would come and pave the way for, so to speak. And look at what Zechariah said in Luke 1:78. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so he's speaking about this same Son of Righteousness. The same Son of Righteousness that Malachi was pointing to here. Jesus would come the first time. And look at what he would do there as you look at verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness. To guide our feet in the way of peace. The first time Jesus comes, he comes in peace. And he comes to bring salvation to those that would choose to believe. And we're still living in that age today where that opportunity of salvation is available to all those who would choose to believe in him. We may not see peace around us in a world today, but we're living in a time, we're living in an age where we can experience peace with God if we believe in this Son of Righteousness who came so many years ago, born of a virgin, and going to a cross. But there's another example of this Son of Righteousness, and it's found in the book of Revelation. If you turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation chapter 19, we're coming to the end. And here we're reading about this great and dreadful day of the Lord. And in chapter 19, we're looking at verse 11 there. And we see this Son of Righteousness appearing again. Chapter 19 of Revelation, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in his righteousness he judges and makes war. See the difference there? When the Son of Righteousness came the first time, according to the words of Zechariah, he came in peace. And the second time, he comes as a judge and he makes war. Look at verse 12. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And whenever we hear the Word, as John's Gospel tells us, the Word refers to Jesus. And so I really believe here that Malachi, he's writing throughout his prophecy. He's writing about Jesus coming once. But now as we get to chapter 4, he's talking about Jesus coming that second time. And so that's one of the promises. One of the promises to his people is that the Son of Righteousness will arise. And some people will see Jesus born as a baby. And some people, in a time yet to come, will see Jesus come as that Son of Righteousness and a judge. Look at the other promises in Malachi chapter 4 that he gives to his people. As we look there in verse, I've got to find it here, in verse 2, he talks about how not only will you see the Son of Righteousness, but then he talks about the joy that that's going to bring. And I love verse 2, and I love that expression there. And I'm going to share it from the New Living Translation. He says to the faithful that you will go free, leaping with joy like calves let out to pasture. Here's another agricultural reference for us in Fulton County. But if you've been around a farm, or if you're a farmer, and you've left calves out for the first time ever, you know exactly what that looks like. You can see that picture in your mind, and Mark, you're just hoping that they're not going to run through the fence when they go out running like that. But those calves, they go out kicking up their heels and throwing their tail in the air. I mean, they're full of joy because they got freedom. And what do the people of God have when they experience the Son of Righteousness? But they have freedom. I haven't seen too many of them running around with their tails in the air. But you get the image, you get the picture. These calves that are left out for the first time, the boundaries are loosened, and they're able to run, and they're able to go. And our boundaries are loosened, and we're set free because of what Christ did for us. And that's the Son of Righteousness that Malachi is talking about here. He's the Son of God, and what Malachi wants is he wants the people of God to return back to him. Malachi makes another promise here through the Word of God for the people. And he says that the wicked, the evil, they will be ashes under the feet of them. But listen to who's going to do that. God says you will trample the wicked on the day that I do this. This is a day of judgment. This is a day of judgment that is yet to come. Remember, Jesus came first to bring forgiveness, to offer up salvation. But there's coming a day whenever time will run out for people. There's coming a day whenever the end of their lives will come, whenever they've made a choice that they've not chosen to follow Christ and accept His free gift of salvation. And in that day, it'll be judgment. And in this great and dreadful day of the Lord that's yet to come, that judgment will come to those who refuse that final offer to accept Jesus as their Savior. Another assurance that Malachi gives here is that the people of God, They are to remember the law of Moses. Look at verse 4. Remember the law of Moses. And then you skip down and it says, with the statutes and the judgments. Malachi has delivered some promises to the faithful people of God that they're going to see, that they're going to experience the Son of Righteousness, that salvation would come, that they'll experience that joy and that freedom. But he also says, and this is the condition, church, that we need to remember the law of Moses. We need to remember the word of the Lord. And you know, we also have another expectation here, and the expectation is that we would take that word of the Lord that we have, that we know in our own hearts, and that we would share it with the next generation. Because how are they going to know unless we share that truth with them? And you know, as Malachi was writing this book, as he was sharing these words with these people, we got to be realistic and we got to admit the fact that none of these people would see the Son of Righteousness. None of these people would be alive when Jesus came. But if they remembered the law of Moses and if they shared that with the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, those generations to come would know that the Son of Righteousness, well, he would appear. And those are some of the people in Israel that would come to realize who Jesus was as he was born and as he walked on the earth. But how would they know unless a generation chose to follow the law of Moses and then passed it along to the next and the next? So in a way, Malachi has offered up a warning for the wicked. He's offering up promises here to the faithful, but he's also giving them an encouragement, or maybe giving them a warning that you need to stay faithful to this, to the Word of God. Now we go back to a warning, and the warning is of the day that is yet to come, the warning of the day of the Lord. In verse 5, it's one simple verse, but it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." It's one simple verse, but there's a lot to unpack in there. This verse causes confusion. You'll read a lot of commentaries that say whenever Malachi refers to Elijah here, he's referring to John the Baptist. I don't necessarily agree with that, and I could be wrong, but let's go to the Gospel of John in John chapter 1. And we know that John was the forerunner of Jesus. That's the truth. But I want you to hear what John said about Jesus as Jesus came the first time. Because in John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." J. Vernon McGee said that verse, it's a little different from announcing the great and terrible day of the Lord, because here John says that Jesus is coming to take away the sin of the world. So that's Jesus' first coming to offer up salvation to those that would choose to believe in him. It's pretty clear to me that Malachi's prophecy, at least from where I'm standing, it's about Jesus' first coming and it's about Jesus' second coming. Because if you go back to chapter 3 and verse 1, there's where we see that Malachi talks about the two messengers. "Behold, I will send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me." That's John the Baptist. "And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant," and that's Jesus. But now here in chapter 4, Malachi is writing about a dreadful day of the Lord to come. And in that dreadful day, before that dreadful day, he says, God says through Malachi, of course, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." Now let's go back to the book of Revelation again, because here I think we can make the connection. At least this connects in my mind. Maybe it won't in yours, and maybe you'll say, "Mac, you're wrong about all this." But it sure looks like that Malachi is talking not only about the first coming of Jesus, but his second coming too. And in chapter 11, before Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, returns, in chapter 11 it talks about witnesses coming, appearing to those, and trying to convince those wicked and proud, even in the last days, you need to turn your hearts toward Christ. And look at the reaction that these witnesses will receive. And listen to what these witnesses are able to do. And you tell me who it sounds like. In chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. Now look at verse 6. These witnesses have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Now you remember what Elijah was able to do? Elijah was able to shut off the rain so that it didn't fall on the earth. And then whenever he prayed to God, then God allowed it to rain. And so Elijah had that power given to him by God. Now look at the rest of the verse. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth and all plagues as often as they desire. And who does that sound like? But that sounds like in the days of Moses, as he was confronting Pharaoh, who was wicked and proud, and told him, you need to turn toward God and let my people go. And the water turned into blood. That was one of the plagues. And there were other plagues that happened because God gave Moses the ability to talk about those things happening and coming, and they took place. And so it seems pretty clear to me here that in this great and dreadful day of the Lord, that the witnesses that will come, Malachi says, behold, I will send Elijah in that time before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will come and he will prophesy. And it seems pretty clear to me that the Elijah he's referring to here is probably the person who's coming in the age of Revelation to witness and to share about what's about to happen to the earth. And I wanted to read one more verse there, and I kind of turned away from it. But verse 10, look at how these witnesses will be welcomed by the wicked and the proud. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, and make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. And so we see that some will hear the word and some will respect the truth that they deliver, and others will see them as evil and not hear the words that they are saying there. Malachi is giving a prophecy here of a day that's yet to come. And so he's warning the proud. He's given promises to the faithful. And now here in verse 5, he's talking about what that day would be, and that there would be a way for people to see that indeed Jesus is coming again. We close in verse 6. And we remember what the Nelson Study Bible said that we looked at the beginning. Malachi ends with a promise and a warning. So after the warnings to the wicked and the proud, the promises to the faithful, and the warning of that great day of the Lord, Malachi closes with this, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Here's what the book of Malachi really comes down to. It really comes down to, what would the people that Malachi was prophesying to, what would they choose? Would they choose the promise? The promise here in verse 6 is that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the children, that the hearts of the children will be turned to the fathers. What would cause their hearts to turn? I mean, we've just read through the book of Malachi, and we've seen there's so many people who have turned away from God. What would turn their hearts back to Him? In verse 4, we read it. Remember the law of Moses. Remember the statutes and the judgments. You see, the people in Malachi's day, time isn't up for them. There is still time for them to return back to God. They just have to make that choice. Or would they choose the curse? And in verse 3, we read that God would be the one who would deliver that curse. It wouldn't be the faithful remnant that would deliver the curse against the wicked and the proud. It would be God that would do that. And what would that curse look like? That curse would be judgment. It would be annihilation. It would be doom. We read it in verse 1 and verse 3. They'd be like stubble. They'd be burned up. There'd be neither root nor branch. In verse 3, they would be trampled on. They would be under the soles of the feet of those who are righteous and pursuing God, because God would do that. So in the day of Malachi, Malachi, he delivered these prophecies, he delivered these warnings, and he doesn't say it this way, but it really comes down to this simple fact. What would the people of God, who called themselves the people of God, what would they choose in Malachi's day? Would they choose the promise, or would they choose the curse? You know, Malachi didn't just come with a sledgehammer. He came and he talked to these people about the love of God. And they said, God, how did you love us? Malachi came with the sledgehammer and he came with the rebuke. And he said, look, you need to quit offering up offerings that are unfaithful, that are corrupt, that are blind and lame. You need to remember the covenants of God and follow them. But he also came with hope. And the hope was that the Son of Righteousness would appear. That God of justice, that he would carry out his plan for what was going to happen and take place on the earth, and he would do it in his time. But he also offered up hope. And the hope was that if people would remain faithful, if they would return to him, we talked about that last week, return to me, then they would be saved. And God would deliver them. Malachi's message really was, what are you going to accept? The promise of God or the curse that he might deliver? And Malachi, he wanted his desire. He delivered this powerful message that he said was a burden. And what he wanted was he wanted the people to choose the promise. And God's final messenger is still speaking today. We can say, well, this book was for the nation of Israel, and it was. But there's a reason why it's in this book for us today, because it's for us today. And God's final messenger in the Old Testament is still speaking to us today, speaking to our hearts today, and saying, what choice are you going to make, church? And you might say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of God. I've already made a choice. And you know what? There were people in Malachi's day that said the exact same thing. We're followers of God. And then they asked God all those questions. Where are you? How did you love us? Where's the God of justice? God, why are you allowing the wicked to profit and succeed when we're not? Some of us have made the choice to follow God, and some of us need to return back to him. And we need to quit robbing him, and we need to quit stealing from him, and we need to quit complaining about him, and we just need to look to his truth and remember the promises that he's made, because someday Jesus is coming again, and are we going to be ready for that? And some still have to make a choice. Some still have to make a choice to put away the old man and to put on the new and to become followers of that Son of Righteousness coming again. Some of you, you know what it's like to be like that fat calf that's running out into the pasture field for the first time. You know what it's like to have the joy of salvation. And maybe there's somebody here this morning that still needs to make that choice and receive the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus as your Savior. Malachi, that prophet of old, he wanted people to choose the promise. And his word would speak to us today and say, if you've chosen the promise, hallelujah. Now give God your best. And if you've not chosen the promise, today's the day. Today's the day, for there's a great and dreadful day that's coming, a day of judgment. And none of us want to experience that judgment. We want to experience the joy of an eternity in heaven, worshiping Him and knowing Him as our Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, we have looked at a passage of Scripture that's challenging from a standpoint of understanding who You're talking about and how it's all going to work and how it's all going to fit together. But it's also challenging as far as where we are in our walk with You. And Lord, we know that people haven't changed much through the years. We know that as we read there in Malachi of Your people who strayed away from You, that today there are those of us who we stray away from You and we need to be drawn back in. And so, Lord, I pray that the message of Malachi might draw back into You those who have drifted away. Those who are asking where You are. Lord, there's times when You do seem distant. But we have to remember that it's not You that moves, it's us. And Lord, draw us back to You. Lord, remember, help us to remember the joy that we received when we accepted and believed that promise that You made for us, that we could be Your children and accept Your Son Jesus as Savior. And so, Lord, this morning I pray that the challenge of Malachi's message might be, as we read, as we learned last week, to return to You, to come back to You with everything we have, offering up our gifts and our times and our talents and our offerings before You, Lord. And Lord, I pray that Your challenge might also speak to anyone this morning who needs to hear it. And that challenge would be to, for the first time maybe, to truly admit that they're a sinner and to give their heart over to You. Because, Lord, the reality is, Your Word has just declared that there is a great day, a dreadful day of judgment yet to come. And, Lord, none of us want to be in that situation where we're judged by You for an unwillingness to turn our hearts and our sins over before You. So, Lord, I pray for that one or that two that might need to say today, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I accept that You sent Your Son, that Son of righteousness, to give me salvation and to make me free. Lord, speak to that heart this morning that might need to commit themselves to You, to follow Your truth, and to seek after Your righteousness. Lord, You've given us the words of this old prophet so that we might make a choice to follow the promise of a Savior, Your Son, coming before us. Lord, we thank You for that promise. We pray that all of our hearts would be fixed on serving the Christ of Calvary, who died so that men might be free. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. And we ask it in Your name. Amen.